are launching into the second hour of the live Saturday edition of the program, taking control of the airwaves here live from Rogers Campground at the 2012 edition of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We're here at the White Mountains of New Hampshire. It's absolutely beautiful, although a moment ago I couldn't see the White Mountains due to a very heavy downpour. It's been raining on and off throughout the day today, but people are still here. They're still enjoying themselves. You are enjoying yourselves, right, Houston? Okay, good. It's good to know. So we're here at Porkfest 2012, and here with friends old and people that are brand new friends, people that we've never had the chance to meet before, but I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to meet new listeners of the show and longtime listeners of Free Talk Live that have never actually come up to the Porcupine Freedom Festival before. In fact, I had a couple of listeners approach me earlier today after it was right after we did the group photo, because every year at around 4 o'clock, I guess, or something, somewhere around there, people gather on this large kind of hill that is in the front of Rogers Campground, and they sit up the hill, so people are just rows and rows and rows and rows of people up the hill, probably several hundred people in any given year's photo. Obviously, not everyone from the whole campground comes into the photo, but there's a lot.
I didn't this year.
There's a lot of, yeah, I was looking for you, I didn't see you. There are a lot of people that do make it out for this, and a couple folks came up afterwards to thank me for the Derek J. Victimless Crime Spree movie, which premiered last night here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's premiered in a mostly completed form. It's probably like the final cut or the final draft. And they said they've been waiting all week long to see this film. And I was wondering, you know, it was really short notice that we got it in. It wasn't even really on the schedule as to when it was actually being shown. So I had no idea what to expect as far as people coming out to it. But apparently a few dozen folks were there at the premiere, and people really enjoyed it, which I thought was great. They said that the pacing was excellent, that it was very entertaining. People in the audience laughed. And if you can make the audience laugh at a movie, even though it's a documentary, I think that's a pretty good thing. So it was that was really exciting for me. You can go, of course, to victimlesscrimespree.com to see the trailer for that. One of the other questions was, well, when's the film going to be available for people to download, for people to watch? And that's coming soon. At some point this summer, it'll be complete. We want to wait for Derek J., who formerly hosted this show with us on Tuesday nights, to get out. Once he's out, we're going to, you know, shoot some footage of his release party and him getting out of jail, probably insert that into the film and maybe do like a commentary track or something like that. Have some thoughts from Derek to kind of bring things full circle. So that's still to come. VictimlessCrimesFree.com is where you can sign up for emails about it. You can also, of course, like the Facebook page. So we've got interesting people that we can talk to here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and that are graciously spending time with us here on our third microphone. In fact, Bob Murphy is with us. And Bob, you are involved with the Mises Institute, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Well, right, yeah. I do a lot of work with them teaching with their online classes and at their Mises University.
So you are located in Auburn?
No, I live in Nashville. I just go down to Auburn for their events once in a while.
So economics professor, is that a good title to describe what you do?
I used to be a formal economics professor at a college, and now I'm a consultant, but yeah, I still profess economics.
Okay. So, one thing that, and by the way, you were the thing that I was looking forward to the most here at Porkfest was getting a chance to hear you speak, and, I got to hear you talk, and I got to hear you host the roast of Chris Lawless, and I think you did a great job at that.
Well, he was lauded last year for being the best roaster of all really the roasters.
So, I had some questions, though. Oftentimes, you'll hear when people talk about the economic downturn that's occurred recently, in the last couple of years, you'll hear the banks get blamed. You'll hear the politicians get blamed for, say, making it too easy for certain people to get loans that shouldn't have had them. And of course, the banks, they're greedy because they're in the marketplace for giving these loans and doing these things. And of course, you know, the evidence is with the numbers that just came out showing that the middle class lost 40% of its savings recently, and that the upper classes didn't. Apparently, it was the middle class that bailed out the upper class. Whose fault? Like 5 years on from the situation, what happened? Who did it?
Well, that's a tough question, but I'll only answer it this way. I think a major player in this that most people don't point their finger at is the Federal Reserve. So they're not the sole people responsible, and of course, individual people on Wall Street did shady things. But the point is, if you had a free market, they might not have taken those risks in the first place because they knew that the Fed would come in and bail them out.
So the United States doesn't have a free market?
Not the last time I checked.
Okay. Does any place have a free market?
No, I'm just making it clear, getting him on the record here.
Well, so, hold on. Maybe the Bitcoin market is a free market because, I mean, there's no regulatory structure whatsoever to the Bitcoin market. So in a way, I mean, I think free market, you have to, like, have more freedom in general. But I think if you segment the Bitcoin world, there's no government control of it whatsoever. So maybe that's a free
market. It may be a true statement, but it also reacts to an unfree market. So, I mean, I don't know that you can, you know, I don't know
when
what
you say it reacts to it. It's
in reaction to the Bitcoin would have no no legs if the the monetary market was free.
Huh, I see where you're coming from, but I don't know if that's true. Anyway, go ahead.
So the Federal Reserve, you're saying that they had some role in it. What did they do?
Well, one of the main things that Austrian economists tend to stress is that they say...
What are Austrian economists?
The Austrian School of Economics, is just a particular school of thought. You've got the Chicago School, the Keynesians, the Austrians, that Friedrich Hayek won the Nobel Prize in the 70s.
Okay.
Very free market-oriented school. And their particular explanation of business cycles, what Austrians say happened is after the dot-com crash, 99-2000, Alan Greenspan brought interest rates way down. Because that's the standard textbook play to do. Well, that's what you do when there's a recession. And that set in motion the housing bubble. So people for years were calling him the maestro, and Alan Greenspan gave us a soft landing, and they're using all those euphemisms. And so what we Austrians would say is those low interest rates weren't doing us any favors. It set up an unsustainable boom. We just replaced one bubble with a different one, and then we were reaping the consequences of that in 2008.
How do low interest rates, aren't low interest rates good? I mean, how do low interest rates do bad things to the economy?
Well, because my perspective is that interest rates are prices, and they mean something. They communicate information. So by the same token, it would be great if gasoline were 20 cents a gallon.
Well, why not go to 15, right?
Right, but that problem is that's not the actual market price right now. So prices communicate information, and so they're not telling you what needs to be told.
Because you can't play games with the marketplace because it will always rectify itself. So
the laws of economics are immutable. I mean, you can't get around them.
If the United States decided to make $20 a gallon gasoline and forced oil companies to sell at that rate, the oil companies would just take their gasoline and go places like Europe where they can get higher prices for their so there would be not 20 cents a gallon gasoline. There would be no cents a gallon gasoline because it wouldn't be there.
Right. So you're exactly right that when the government does conventional price control that leads to a shortage. The problem with interest rates, though, is that the way Bernanke gets interest rates to go down, or Greenspan when he was in charge, is they just print up more money.
Right.
And so it's not that they're
make it more available.
Right. So it's not that they're going around with guns saying you better only charge this interest rate or we'll put you in jail the way they would try to do it with gasoline prices. Instead, they just create all this new money and lend it out themselves to push interest rates down. But the point is that isn't backed up by real saving.
So, and how did that create the housing bubble? So they made money more available, printed up more money, and then that caused people to. Why did that cause housing prices to go up?
Oh, well, it's a standard explanation that as the main interest rate went down, you could see mortgage rates going down, and so people are in the marketplace and they say, well, how much house can I get now for the amount I want to spend per month on my mortgage payment?
Right.
And so it's a simple, numerical relationship that if interest rates go down for a given outlay, you can now buy a more expensive house.
It increased the demand, and so therefore people were able to get more and more for their houses. More people were in the marketplace, so people were getting more for their houses. The prices went up, 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 artificially inflated to the point that suddenly the marketplace couldn't sustain it any longer, and it crashes, and houses are worth half of what
they're
worth.
Right, and now you've got a bunch of empty houses.
Yeah, like now there are fewer people living in houses than they were. I guess the number of households has shrank, I think it's by 15% or some number like that. So you actually have people, mom living in the basement or something like that.
Right, and part of what happened is then it just snowballed on itself. So, sort of rationally it made sense that as interest rates go down, house prices go up. But then people started speculating. So people were buying houses not because they wanted to live in them, but because they were seeing prices rise so fast.
Oh, yeah.
And then that process feeds on itself. And you're right. You could look at statistics to see that the home occupancy rates kept going down and down, or the home prices compared to rental rates kept going up. So those are classic signs of a bubble. So more and more people knew it was happening.
I have another question. So
sure. Just stick with us here if you want.
Interest rates are still low. Does that mean there's another bubble coming?
Don't answer that yet. Hang on. We'll bring you back here. Bob Murphy, former professor and actively promoting Austrian economics and the free market, 855-450-FREE. Perhaps you have a question for him. You don't mind taking a call or two if we get him. 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live from Port Fest. Press, 2012.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-914-2995 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-914-2995. 1-800-914-2995. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. June 22nd, 2012. Gold opened this morning at 1570.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 1601.27, 805.14 for a half ounce, or 402.57 for a quarter ounce. That's 1601.27, 805.14, and 402.57.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best-tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home-cooked meals, you can cut your food costs in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More the best for less guarantee.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're here live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival 2012 edition at Rogers Campground. The beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire is the setting. The crowd is full of wonderful, liberty-loving people from around the country and around the world who've taken the time to come here and take time out of their busy schedules. I mean, everybody's busy. But we've taken time out to spend time with each other and talk about, you know, what's next for freedom, what's next for this movement. Of course, I think that the Free State Project is what's current and what's next, because the most viable strategy to achieve liberty in our lifetime, I believe, is to get together with other people that are willing to actually take action. And that's what this is all about. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is about kind of being a place where people can see what it's like to have a community like that. Because I know where I come from, down in Florida, there were only a handful of people that were would consider themselves liberty-minded, and most of them weren't willing to do anything or much of anything to have any sort of increase in freedom in our lifetime. So I want to be in a place where there are people that are willing to do something, and not only that, but there are constantly more people that are coming to that place who are willing to do something, who are willing to put effort in, to put money in, to put time in to having more freedom, and that's what this is about. So freestateproject.org to learn more about what we're doing here.
Many of the people who are camping here at Rogers Campground have gotten their camping equipment at manventureoutpost.com. It's a great place to go get the name brands at some of the best rates you're going to be able to find on the internet. I know, everybody says they've got the best rates. Really, before you buy any kind of camping, hunting, shooting, or survival gear, you need to go to manventureoutpost.com and comparison shop. They've got the name brands at the best price, whether it's knives, ammunition, scopes, binoculars, laser sights, tactical flashlights, fish finders, boating equipment, whatever it might be, they've got it. ManVentureOutpost.com is family-owned, members in good standing of the Better Business Bureau, and you can get an additional 5% off, and that'll at least cover shipping, at ManVentureOutpost.com by using coupon code FTL. It's ManVentureOutpost.com, coupon code FTL.
We've got Bob Murphy with us here, formerly of the Mises Institute, still does some work.
You probably should call him Robert initially, so because if people want to look him up online, that's the easiest way to find it.
Okay, well, his name tag says Bob.
He's Bob.
People around here call him Bob, but Bob / Robert Murphy. welcome back to Free Talk Live. Good to have you on again here. You've been a participant in the Porcupine Freedom Festival. How many years now? Oh, let me turn your mic on. That might help, huh? Go ahead. This is my second year. Oh, okay. So relatively new. So you've seen it only in its form with, you know, Agora Alley and all the sales of product and food that's going on here. It's much bigger now than it's ever been. So glad to have you here. What is it that you like the most? Before we get back to the economics interview, what is it that you like the most about Porkfest?
Well, the thing that I tell people is that I've been to plenty of different conferences, and they tend to have an academic flavor that typically college professors giving lectures, and then a bunch of libertarians in the audience, students who are interested in it, and that's great. It's very educational. But
no karaoke,
here,
no dance party.
Well, we do that after hours, so it's not part of the event itself. But the problem is it's very theoretical, and it's sort of like, oh, one day people might be free and live this way. Let's think about how they would interact. And you come here, and you see people actually living it, and it gets more tangible. So I mean, even just me coming last year, I believed in it more. Had just seen people deal with each other.
Wow.
In that respect.
Very cool. So you know a thing or two about economics, having graduated with a PhD in it?
Yes.
And so
being a professor, giving people PhDs, as a matter of fact.
So you had asked a question. Can you recap that question?
Right, sure. The question is that your claim, and, you know, I believe it entirely, your claim is that the Federal Reserve increasing the incident of money, the increasing the amount of money in the marketplace caused the housing bubble. Is that sound right?
Right.
Okay. So, and in response to the housing bubble, the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates low. And interest rates are how they introduce money into the marketplace. So by having interest rates low after the dot-com situation, they created the housing bubble. By keeping the interest rates low after the housing bubble, are they creating another bubble?
Right, it's a great question, and I think they are. And so people say, okay, where is the bubble then? And I think it's
where is
in,
the bubble?
Yeah, I think a good question. I think it's in government debt. And so in the United States, really, like, so U.S. treasuries, I think, are in a bubble. So what do I mean? I mean that they're overvalued. No, I can't believe what low yields they're getting on that. In other words, how much investors are willing to lend to the government and the little amount that they're asking in exchange.
Now, what would I guess I have two questions there. What would a bubble in the area of government debt look like, and how would it present itself? And secondarily, isn't student loan debt the largest, I'm using quotation marks here, asset that the government has?
Okay, so as far as the first question, so remember, bond prices are tricky. So the thing that says that we're going to pay you, if you lend us money, this bond gives you in 10 years, we'll give you $1,000. Its market price is the opposite of the yield on it. So the higher the price right now that you have to pay to get that thing, that means the lower the interest rate you're earning on it.
Okay.
Okay,
yep.
So what it would look like if government debt were very highly valued would mean the yield on it would be low, meaning interest rates on it would be very low, and right now they're incredibly low. on U.S. government debt.
So that it's highly. So at this point, government debt is highly valued.
Yeah, right. Right.
Okay.
Historically,
and I can't imagine why people highly value government debt when there's a surplus of it in the marketplace at this point. The Federal Reserve just bought what 77% of I don't know something.
Right. Yeah. So the figure you're thinking of is in 2011, the amount of debt that the U.S. government issued, so the amount they spent more than what they took in tax revenue, 77% of that came from Bernanke, basically.
That's because the Federal Reserve has to be the buyer of last resort of these government treasuries. Is that right? When the government issues this new these new treasuries, they'd love to sell them to people who are not the Federal Reserve, but if people aren't interested, then the Fed comes in and guarantees the purchase, does it not?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's the way you and I are analyzing, and I think that's correct.
Yeah.
But they've done this great job of convincing standard investors that, oh, no, the amount that Bernanke's buying, like, in other words, Bernanke left to his own devices, has no clue what the government's doing with its deficit, and on his own says, oh, that's how much I wanted to buy last year. And then the U.S. government, completely unconnected, decided out when they're spending, when, of course, I think, and I think you do too, that Bernanke, the reason he decided to buy so much was because he knew they're running a huge deficit. If we don't buy a bunch of it, interest rates are going to go up and people are going to panic.
So, I mean, if compared to a household, this would be a situation where somebody has such a spending problem, they're going in their basement and printing their own money, saying that they'll pay it back to themselves. Is that about right?
With interest.
With interest? Does that sound right?
Except it's more that your neighbor has the printing press and a bunch of private bankers own it, and then you pay the interest to them.
Well, people would like you to believe that the Federal Reserve is somehow a governmental agency, whereas it's sort of quasi-governmental, right?
Yeah, it's a weird hybrid where, I mean, it's less of a government agency than the IRS or the EPA. So it has private shareholders, it's owned by private people, but it's true that the government does appoint the chair and the open market.
And hands out all kinds of favors. I mean, it's nice to be in the court of the king.
Well, right, exactly. So not only are they have all those favors, so yeah, they're not like just any other corporation because they can use force to keep out competitors.
Student debt, is it going to go kaboom?
I think so.
What is that going to look like? So is that bad for people who will be getting student debt in the future, or is it bad for people who have student debt now?
Well, I think people in the future are going to, it's going to be harder for them to get loans, but I think that I'm actually be doing them a favor.
Right. I mean, at this point, people running off to college getting communications degrees, sociology degrees, and psychology degrees probably don't need these things.
Right. So I'm not sure the exact numbers off the top of my head, but you're right. It's possible the people that could really get pinched are the ones who are just graduating, can't get a job right now because the market's so awful, and they have all those loans that they thought would be a low interest rates now start rising because the government can't back them up anymore.
Bob Murphy, is there a website you want to promote while you're here?
Sure. ConsultingByRPM.com.
By RPM?
Yes.
So that's ConsultingByRPM.com. Very good. Bob Murphy, thanks for sitting in on Free Talk Live with us this evening.
Thanks,
really appreciate your time. There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-855-450-3733. We're here live, Saturday edition of Free Talk Live from Rogers Campground.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. When rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-685-9751. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-685-9751. That's 800-685-9751. Again, 800-685-9751.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyDD.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want toll free at 855-450-FREE. We're here live from the Porcupine Freedom Festival 2012 edition, or Pork Fest, as we like to call it. Once again, 855-450-FREE. Join us on our website over at freetalklive.com and enjoy the features we give to you there. You can actually control the content of the site. You submit something to it, submit a URL of some sort. Perhaps it's a YouTube video, or maybe it's a news item, something fun that you found, whatever. Whatever you think our listeners will enjoy, you submit it, and then others can vote. You can vote as well. And the most voted up, make it to the front page and the top of the site. So go and get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Well, everybody always wants to know, you know, was Pork Fest bigger than it was last year?
Yes, that's the question I've been asking this year.
And as you know, Jason Osborne and his wife Sharon are the coordinators of Porcupine Freedom Festival this year, and it has gone off well. It looks well attended, but it's very difficult to know these things just sort of sitting on the ground here. And if you want to find out more about SACL CAI, that's where Jason Osborne the company he owns, and Sharon is involved. You can go to freetalklive.com. The banner is the top one on the right-hand side of the page. They do accounts receivable. Anyway, it looks like the numbers are 8 on Thursday. This is the newest numbers we have.
Okay.
On Thursday, there were 830 people on site registered or whatever.
Wow.
And that's 30 more than last year. So
okay.
At this point, all the numbers we have track higher than last year. So I suspect we're going to have a higher turnout today than we did Saturday being the big day.
Sounds like it. The campground is full of people that love freedom, and this is the final night of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So the last bash until next year, and I know that everybody is going to be bummed. You have to go home back to reality. But ForkFest sure has been great, and it's full of great, interesting people that are doing wonderful activism projects that are all worth talking about, but we only have so much time, so we can only talk to so many of them. And one of those folks is Bill, and is it Buffert, Bill?
Buford.
It's Buford.
Or Buper, if you speak French.
Buper. Well, welcome to Free
Don't
Talk
Live. Don't give him something where he can attempt an accent. it's embarrassing.
Welcome to Free Talk Live, Bill. You are the proprietor of ZeroGov.com. ZeroGov as in zero government, I presume. Tell me what you're doing here at Porkfest. Is this your first time, by the way?
This is my first time at Porkfest. And I am the proprietor, founder, and publisher of ZeroGov.com. And I just published my first book, an ebook only. It's called ZeroGov, Limited Government, Unicorns and Other Mythological Creatures.
Oh, really?
So at one point when you're a retired military?
U.S. Army. Okay. Yes, retired.
So at one point you were a small government guy like me?
I was.
Yep. And
then I got better with time.
Yes. So, you know, slowly the rivets as you begin to look into, the machinery of government, the rivets begin to pop off and you realize, wow, this idea of limited government is just limited tyranny.
Well, you know, limited government has never existed. I mean, no one can point to an historical precedent, antecedent, or any historical example of a government that's been alive for more than 30 days that hasn't expanded its power over time.
And certainly organizations grow over time, but the sort of the definition of government always gets really tricky for me. For me, the definition of a government is an organization that keeps people safe. That's how the average person believes what the terminology is.
Well, that's what we learn in the government schools and the civics government obedience class.
Right, and certainly winners write history books, right?
Yes, they do.
So, when I think of organizations to keep people safe, certainly you have to have those. But what would the world look like if those organizations were, say, people could voluntarily switch between organizations to keep them safe in the same way they could switch between, say, cell phone companies, even more quickly, because cell phone companies are almost like dealing with the mafia when you have these contracts and stuff, as quickly as one, switches taxis or something.
Well, the cell phone companies only behave that way because of the excessive government regulation that's imposed on them, which allows them the wiggle room to be corrupt.
Yeah, it's
true. And to behave in the way that they do, because figure it this way. We hear all this noise about the FAA keeps our planes safe. They make the presumption that our planes are safe not because the airlines are concerned about it, but only because the government is concerned about it. How going a business concern is it if you're shuttling passengers from Paris to San Francisco or from San Francisco to Tucson, Arizona, and your planes are dropping out of the sky? If that's the case, your business model has failed, and you're not going to get customers, and you will go out of business.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is a natural market incentive to keep people safe, for instance, than not to, because it doesn't attract business if you're killing your customers.
Also, people are ultimately responsible for their own safety when
they
it comes
are.
Down to it. I live in a town where there is no police force. There's just not a police force. So people and there's not no crime. There's really virtually no crime in the town either. If you do a midnight burglary in the town that I live in, you're likely to find yourself perforated because just about everybody there's got some kind of gun. They're protecting their own home.
Well, I consider cops the clear and present danger because Obama, Stalin, George W. Bush, you fill in the blank of whoever your villain is in government, they can't do a goddamn thing unless they have cops, praetorians, and enforcers.
So now your speech today was on secession and
last night.
Last night. Tell us what your thoughts on secession are.
Well, my thoughts are rather simple, and that's the fact that if Jason and Sharon Osbourne happen to have irreconcilable differences and they decide to get a divorce, and I'm not presuming, Jason, that your marriage is that unhealthy, and Sharon is a lovely and very effective worker for Porkfest, but if you guys have irreconcilable differences and you say it's time to leave, you can get a divorce today in these United States, depending on the state that you're in,
sure.
And the state would determine those protocols.
There's virtually no contract that has no exit clause.
There's not. And, that's yet another reason I'm opposed to gay marriage is because I'm opposed to all state-imposed marriage. It's not about gays. You should be able to marry your chicken, but you shouldn't involve the state in it.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from.
That just doesn't make any sense.
I get where you're coming from.
But what I'm saying here about divorce is that you can get this divorce, yet when a state or a county or a local town or even an entire nation or parts of a nation say, you know what, we want a divorce, the way they're treating you and Sharon is that they're saying the government's going to come into your house, they're going to prone you out, they're going to put guns to your head, and they're going to say if you ever threaten to leave each other again, we will fine you, cage you, maim you, or kill you. That's exactly what we'll do. And that's what's happened here with secession. Secession's a four-letter word in America. Yet when we look at it historically, secession is the only way that countries and nation states evolve in the Western world, as far as I've seen in history, for five millennia.
Well, I personally, just as an aside, I support gay marriage simply as a stopgap measure because while I would love to see government get out of marriage, I don't see anybody floating those proposals at the moment, and I figure if somebody wants to have the government involved in their marriage, they should be free to make that choice for themselves. But as an aside, I completely support secession. It's one of the most exciting things that I think that the Liberty Movement should be promoting as much as possible. And while you say it's a four-letter word, I don't know if that's necessarily true. We've seen these Rasmussen surveys that have been expanding over the years, over the last couple of years, the numbers of people in the United States who would I don't know if it's actively support, but
they believe that the state has the right.
Right. People in a state have the right to secede from the federal government, and it's something like 1 in 4 Americans. So, I don't know. That seems like it's a pretty good starting point, doesn't it, as far as getting people to talk and accept the idea.
It seems like it's a good point on paper, but let's see where they put it when they're in the moral hazard.
What do you mean by that?
As far as their assent to doing just that and leaving the country. Because right now, in an individual state, I can't opt out of taxes at the state level, much less the federal level. So I think that I can say anything I wish on a poll, but once they show up at the muster and once they're ready to defend what they believe right here and right now in the physical world, great, then I'll watch what happens. But they can say anything they want on a poll.
Sure, but I think it's a good starting point for getting people to accept the idea, talk about the idea. I mean, I would much rather have 1 in 4 Americans support the idea of a state seceding than 1 out of 20.
Well, if only that had happened in 1860.
Well, indeed. Well, of course, you know, there was also the violence factor that happened back then, and hopefully what we'd be
slavery
talking about.
Was involved.
That's what Union forces do.
Hopefully we'd be talking about a peaceful secession in this particular case.
Now, I wanted to get back to your point about how nations are formed. As I recall, I saw something, you know, some graphic on the Internet that showed nations forming throughout the last 100 years. And essentially, you looked at things like Great Britain owning, you know, a good portion of the Southeast Asia, all of India, a good portion of Africa.
Until 1946, when they just owned rocks around the planet.
Right. And you know, essentially what you had here was maybe 100 nations at the beginning of World War I, and now you have more than 200. So
you have 197 right now.
I thought it was, I don't know. Like some
anyhow, we can stipulate that. Somebody can find it on the net.
Okay. Bill, can you stick with us here for a little more discussion about
this? I'd love to. Thank you.
All right, more here in a moment. Bill Buford from ZeroGov.com, Zero G-O-V. That's not the number zero, Z-E-R-O-G-O-V.com. 855-453 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. Question about secession for Bill, you can make that call now for Tough Life.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. It's priced $21 a month.
Call 1-800-914-2995 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-914-2995. 1-800-914-2995. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people will view to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
smartest thing my company did was to give us WebEx. I'm in sales, and now I get twice the meetings, close twice the business, and make twice the money. I guess I should say thank you to the folks in IT.
The new free version of WebEx Meetings lets you take your office anywhere, your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. Get your free WebEx Meetings basic account now at WebEx.com. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com. WebEx.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service. Very low shipping and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices, and CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout, and CampingSurvival.com will take 5% off your order. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
At some point, you'll be able to lock in your campground or your RV site or hotel room for next year. And, of course, every single year, there's always a sellout on hotel rooms. The campground this year, the actual campsites sold out. There's still plenty of RV sites available, and regular camping can go on there. So there's a lot of room yet to expand this event. So come on up. If you didn't make it this year, come next year. Bring some friends. Bring your family. It's an absolute blast to be around hundreds of other like-minded, over 830 people at this point, as of
Thursday. Yeah.
Excuse me, as of Thursday. So we don't know what the numbers are right now.
Probably I'm still saying 1,200.
You think so?
Yep.
That seems reasonable. So there's a lot of people here, and you can have a great time with other people that love freedom. It's just, it makes it so you don't have to cover a lot of the topics you might discuss with another, you know, total stranger that you encounter on the street or at a bar or something like that. The people here already get it when it comes to liberty. So you can immediately jump to secession as a topic of conversation. And that's what we've been talking with our guest here on the third microphone, Bill Buford, who's with us from ZeroGov.com. And ZeroGov, it appears to be your blog site. Tell me a little bit about it, Bill.
It is my blog site. I used to write for Lou Rockwell, then I decided to go independent, and I formed ZeroGov. It was flagged under another name for a brief period of time, then we decided on ZeroGov when it came up and it was available, and I thought that it was very self-explanatory as far as what my entire focus and aim was.
Now, you were actually on a panel today with Boston Tea Party, F. Paul Wilson, and Adam Kokesh from Adam versus the Man, called Resistance and Rebellion Panel, Why Empires Always Fail Over Time. Can you tell me a little bit about what the content was there?
Well, certainly. We were covering both violent and nonviolent resistance and rebellion historically and what it means for our contemporary world. We were talking about the Indian model, for instance, with Satyagraha, which is a noncompliance model that Gandhi used from 1919 to 1947. And eventually he did get out from under the British boot doing that. We talked about the Czech and Slovak model in 1993, where there was actually a peaceful and amicable secession divorce between two nation states, once called Czechoslovakia, into the Czech Republic and the Slovak Republic. And then some of the more violent models, which employ terrorism and insurgency, such as the Basque terrorists and the Basque insurgents and the
in
Irish
Spain.
Republic
yeah.
in Spain and France, and then the Irish Republic from 1916 to 1922, but one can say from 1916 to 2004.
Yeah, really. I mean, it just
yeah.
kept going.
It just kept going in all its variations, yeah.
And,
so
but it was finally successful, right? I mean, you know, I'm not pitching for violence or anything
sure.
like that, but...
It was only successful for the Southern Republican Air, EIRE, you know, the Southern Island of Ireland, because Northern Ireland is still a Commonwealth, not even a free state, of the United Kingdom. But I predict that in 10 years, Northern Ireland will be gone. I predict in 10 years that Scotland will probably go its own way. And these kind of fissures are going to continue to evolve, because since 1990, 34 nation states have been acknowledged by the United Nations to have departed their former hosts.
So there are 34 new nations
34
in the last
new
20
nations,
years.
15 peeling off of the southern underbelly of the USSR alone. Mm-hmm. The other USSR, not the one we live in today.
Okay.
Right.
Now, and do you, I mean, the United States is arguably the largest and most powerful empire with technology, considering technology especially, the largest, most powerful empire the world has ever seen.
No doubt.
Some people would claim that it was a reluctant empire created after World War II with the sort of the lack of the rest of these imperial powers.
And if people paid attention to their history, they would discover that the machinations were there in 1893 with
right.
the annexation of Hawaii, 1898 Spanish-American War.
And then some people would claim it was plotted right from the beginning by people like Alexander Hamilton, and the Constitution was written.
Well, I think you're on to something, because I'm a constitutional skeptic, and I have long argued that the Articles of Confederation were far more deliberate and good about freedom and liberty than the Constitution was. The Constitution is probably one of the most interesting and successful engines for big government that's ever been created, where all of us here in this
Republicans are grabbing their hats right now and screaming at their radios.
All the this tax jurisdiction called the United States of America is such that everyone here in the home of the free and the land of the brave is convinced that they are free, yet they labor under 25,000 pages in the Federal Register, and then all the subsidiary federal executive agencies and the laws by administrative fiat that they can pass. No one in your audience here has not broken two dozen laws today for the feds. No one.
Yeah, it's impossible. There's so many laws.
It
no
is.
One should possibly read them, let alone follow them.
Yes.
And, you know, I was talking to somebody out there. This is what Porkfest is about, talking to people about different ideas of freedom. And, you know, the United States government doesn't work like a king did in the old days, when they would claim the land, and then you as the serf would have to give them a certain amount of money toward the land in order to sort of pay for living there. Because once you went to another kingdom, you were free. However, here in the United States, I've got a friend of mine who lives in Tokyo, and they claim... they claim taxes on him living in, because he's a citizen living in a foreign land, they claim his taxes above $80,000 per year.
I mean, the U.S. does.
The U.S. does. The United States government claims his labor in a foreign country. They're not claiming the land upon which you toil. They are claiming the body in which you inhabit.
It's because North Korea and the United States tax their citizens on citizenship and not location.
North Korea and
it's you're absolutely true.
We share many qualities.
If you were a Canadian citizen, you come to work in the United States, you don't have to pay money to the Canadian government, even though you're a Canadian citizen still. The United States government is the only government on the planet, besides North Korea, that claims your body. They would tax your soul if they knew how. They're trying to tax the internet, which is this no place.
Look, the only reason there wasn't an income tax in the first 10 years after the Constitution in 1791 is because the accountancy principles weren't in place.
So
they couldn't track it. They couldn't track income. Otherwise, Hamilton would have grabbed it.
Yeah. I would absolutely agree with you on this, and it's it's stunning, but you know, people I don't hear people say that it's a free country anymore. When I was a kid, you'd hear it all the time. Well, go do what you want. It's a free country. I don't hear him say it anymore. I don't think that's a thought process that really goes on in the United States since the terrorists attack in 2001.
When is it that secession is going to become viable for the U.S.? I mean, we've already seen one out of four people in America think that it should be allowed, that peaceful secession should
sure.
be okay. You know, at what point are we going to see the first state secede, do you think?
Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, and I wish I did, where I could give you a date and time that would happen. But I think what's going to usher this in is the utter economic collapse, which is inevitable in this country.
Yeah.
And what's going to make this collapse even more interesting than any that has preceded us in history is that there has never been a global reserve currency that all other countries have relied upon as the basis for their own currencies. In this case, California is just as broke as Greece. But the reason California isn't going through the debacle Greece is because Uncle Sam is a sugar daddy, keeps injecting the life support financially and fiscally to them so that they don't end up in Greek troubles or like the pigs.
Has there been a bailout of California? Because I hadn't seen that news. We had talked about how their budget is screwed. Illinois is the same way.
Sure.
Other states to a lesser extent. But the speculation that we'd had on the show is that eventually the feds are going to come in with some sort of a state bailout. Has that already happened?
No, it has not happened. But I think what's going to happen is that the federal government will have to bail out their pension system because you have people who do 20 years of service as firefighters or policemen,
and then get 90%.
And then they get 90 or 100%. It is unsustainable over the long term.
And then they go to work for the other department and do it again. They work for another 20 years, so they work for 40 years total, and they're getting two pensions.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is.
And it's unsustainable. Also, they'll in their last 2 or 3 years, their cohorts there in the police department or the fire department will give them extra overtime so that they can get, because it's usually the union thing works out that you get 90% of your last 3 years worth of pay or something like that, and that's how it's figured out. So they'll get this extra overtime in order to sort of pad their rate. It's incredible.
Well, whether it's New Hampshire or Texas or Idaho that ushers in the secession, if one state leaves this country, Katie bar the door, because it will cause
domino
a cavalcade.
Yeah.
It'll be a domino effect where it'll cause individual states and confederations of states to go their own way. Outside of New Hampshire, here in the Northeast, maybe they'll form a Soviet republic where they'll be very happy. In California, there's Marxism in the Pacific Ocean. Mm-hmm. That's how I explain the behavior of California, Washington, and Oregon. Maybe they'll form their own Soviet Cascadia in there,
now,
and you'll have other states.
One of the things that we've been able to see with these events is sort of the regional governments is you can kind of look, the ones that are close are kind of blue, and New Hampshire being this oddball in New England where it's this purple state amongst a sea of blue, and maybe Maine to some extent, but certainly not Vermont and Massachusetts and Connecticut and those kind of things. It's interesting how they clump up like that. So you think that in the situation of secession, that likely you would have regional powers?
Oh, I absolutely think that there's going to be confederations of interest that will get together. New Hampshire going on its own, they could try it, but I think that the strength that they'll need is a confederation of like-minded states. I'm from Idaho originally. I now live in Arizona. Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Utah could form a confederation of sorts because they have so much in common regionally and, I would say, culturally.
But Lichtenstein makes it.
I don't know if that's true up here. I don't think that Maine or Vermont or Massachusetts are anything like New Hampshire.
Maybe.
There's some similarities. But, Bill, thanks for coming on. ZeroGov.com, your website. I think people need to start talking about secession. Talk about it at dinner time. Talk about it at work. Talk about it. Get it out there and it'll become real.
In every age, a technology is created that upends the foundations of society. The wheel, the printing press, the internet. Now, in a world sliding into financial chaos, a new technology is changing the way monetary systems work around the world. It is called Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new form of money controlled not by banks, governments, or corporations, but through mutual commerce between free individuals. To learn more, visit WeUseCoins.com.
Get 18,000 radio stations from around the world, Pandora, Opio, Live365, and MP3 Tunes. With C-Crane CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio, it's great in any room of the house. You can listen to your favorite station stream from back home, whether it's another state or another country. Play Free Talk Live's live streams, LRN.FM, or your favorite stations. If you're not familiar with the C-Crane company, their products are the best. Get the CC Wi-Fi Internet Radio at C-Crane.com, C-C-R-A-N-E.com.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com, sign up for a 1 month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, 5-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled DeseretFoodStore.com, or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people of you to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.